going to do every so often is what we call P3. We're going to get three preachers from our midst, most of them younger. I've asked them to come up and share 10 minutes each on a particular topic. The topic I wanted them to share on this morning was shining for Jesus to a hurting world. And, we all need to learn something from this. I've heard the messages already because we had our first service. Extraordinary. Just extraordinary. I know you are going to be blessed. So we're going to start with Paul West. Then we're going to have Leanne. You thought she just sang. She doesn't. Get ready. And then finally, we're going to have your very own Pastor Keith, who's going to come up and pull it all together. And I just urge you to open your hearts. Let's just pray together. Father, open our hearts, Lord, that we might hear your word this morning, that we might be able to know and discern how we can shine your light into our community. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. So come on, put your hands together, first of all, for Paul West.
Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There was a African-American little boy and his dad, and they would go out into their community and they would have these tracks, good Christian tracks, and invite people along to their service, church service. Anyway, they'd go out many times, and this little boy and his dad, and they would go out in the community and greet people, and they would talk to them and minister to them and chat with them and try and get them to come to the service. And they'd go out through their community week after week. Anyway, it was raining a bit, and the dad was a bit tired, as he, you know, us men do get tired, and he didn't want to go. And the boy said, come on, Dad, let's go. And he said, no, I'm too tired. So anyway, the little boy, he thought, well, I'm going to go. So he went out through the suburb, walking along through it, and he kept walking and walking. And he went further than he'd ever gone before. His dad never went there, but he went across a railway line. And over on the other side of the railway line, there's these big houses. And these big houses is where the white people lived. They were big houses. And he went up to this house and he knocked on the door. And he waited. And he waited. Then he knocked on the door again. And he waited. And he waited. And he waited. And then he knocked on the door again, and he waited, and he waited. Finally, a lady came to the door. Tall lady, white, dressed up. And he looked up at her, handed her a tract, and he says, I really, really love you. And he turned away, and he started walking away, and then he turned back to her again. He said, I really, really love you. And he went home. He went back home. All that way. It came to Sunday. And that little boy sat near the front of the church, empty seats beside him. His dad was preaching. Who would come in but that lady? She walked all the way down the front and she sat right next to him. He looked up at her and she smiled down at him and he says, I really, really love you, he said. And the rest of the story is that that lady was in her house and that little boy knocked on her door and he was waiting. But she was standing on a chair in that house with a noose around her neck. She thought, they'll go away from the door. But she heard the knock once again. And she waited. She thought, they'll go away. But then she heard it a third time. And she went to the door. And she saw the little boy. And he said, I really, really love you. She saw Jesus that morning in that little boy. She was hurting inside, but she saw Jesus came to her house and touched her life. Jesus is in each of you and me. He's in you and me this morning. There was a Samaritan woman. And Jesus came to visit her, didn't he? Jesus was tired. He was dirty. He was thirsty and hungry. And he sat by the well. And the woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that would ask you to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as he did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered on, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever shall drink of the water that I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I shall give them will become in them a spring of living water welling up within them to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I won't thirsty again and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go and call thy husband and come again. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The woman was not satisfied with her life. She was looking for true love. She wanted something greater that man could not give. For her fulfillment was not in the marriage. What trouble was in her heart? What hurting pain prevailed in her? Jesus showed up and ministered to her and gave a new way of life. He fulfilled her new heart. Her life was changed. She had a new direction from where she was going to go to. But he not only touched her life, he touched the whole community. It spread from her life and it reached out into the whole community. The whole town was touched. So when you minister to that one and you reach that, put your hand of Jesus to them and you speak those words of love to them, they are touched and it can affect their whole family. It's not just that one, but it will progress to the one beside them. He really, really loves you. And what is it in our hearts? He touched me. And oh, that he touched me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me. It's his touch in your life that they need to see. It's not what you look like. It's what's inside. It's what's inside. It's he touched me, but he wants to touch them through you. He really, really loves you, but he really, really loves them. He really, really does. He really, really does.
Hi everyone, I'm super excited to be here and sharing with you about a topic that I'm so passionate about, which is shining Jesus to a hurting world. I believe the only way we can shine Jesus to a hurting world is by loving the way Jesus loves. I'm going to read from 1 John 4. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Hurting people need our love. The love we ourselves have received from God through Jesus. When we fully understand and live in the revelation of what God has given to each of us, the price that Jesus paid for each of us, and how great our need was, then we are able to freely love as Jesus does. I put together 3 points that I believe will help us to shine Jesus to a hurting world. The first one is recognize the need. Be a practical support to people and stay close to God, asking God to show you the people and their need. Now, we all know that their need is Jesus. However, many people in the community don't realize a need for Jesus in their lives. So ask God to show you their immediate need. By staying close to God, he will prompt you with what you should focus on. Hurting people do not need quick fix one-liners like "it'll be okay" and "you'll get through this." They need your companionship. Your presence is often more comforting than the words that you use. Many years ago in Melbourne, I was involved in a Christian drop-in centre in the red light district of St Kilda. After praying, we would walk in the dark back streets in pairs from about 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning, talking and building relationships with prostitutes, dealers and addicts. One particular night, after we had all met up and were walking back to the drop-in centre, I noticed a girl talking to a potential client through a car window. We both said hi to each other, and I looked back, as did she, and I realised this was a girl I used to go to school with. We used to spend weekends together. I pulled away from the group briefly that I was with so that I could chat with her. Over a period of months, we would meet up when she was there. This girl was in crisis mode. She had one change of clothes and some toiletries all in a shopping bag, and lived a day or 2 or 3 weeks in surrounding inner city hostels or hotels. As soon as her emotions got too close to the surface, she would bolt. One night at 3 a.m., I drove her back to her hotel. And she asked me if I wanted to come in. And although I was tired and started work at 9, I said, yes, sure. When we walked in and sat down, she fixed her eyes on a part of the wall to start talking. Actually, it was more like spit-firing venom laced with anger that came out. I was sitting there thinking, God, what do I do? What does she need? And God told me, she needs you to listen. So I sat and I listened. And I heard that at the age of 23... she was so damaged that she was unable to go to the toilet properly and she would probably never have children. There is nothing that anyone can do or say that can fix that. It's not okay. When she finally looked at me as if to say, well, aren't you going to say anything? God showed me how to be present with her. I began to cry and I said, I'm so sorry for everything that has happened to you, and it wasn't supposed to be that way. And she softened in an instant. I may have been the only person she had ever trusted enough to share that story with. That came out of a time, out of the time that we'd spent together and out of our relationship. I didn't try to fix her or change her. I just met her in the need right where she was. My second point is be personal, but don't take it personally. And what do I mean by that? Well, have you ever heard the saying, hurting people hurt people? It's true. most of the time. It's not because they are evil or hurtful people. It's because hurting people have learned coping strategies to survive life. All the more reason they need our love and our compassion. It takes a lot of time to build trust when you are hurt, so don't expect it quickly. Be prepared to give of yourself, of your time, and your heart. Likewise, be prepared to forgive, because you will be disappointed and you will be let down, sometimes unappreciated, and sometimes even abused or accused. It's not fair, it's not pretty, and it's not easy. But it's the truth of people who are in their brokenness. Jesus experienced this with Peter in the book of Luke. Peter, a disciple, someone Jesus held close, that he invested in, that Jesus shared life with, someone Jesus was vulnerable with, denied him, denied ever knowing Jesus after he was arrested. However, later in John 21, Jesus appears to his disciples, and Peter was amongst them after his resurrection. And Jesus speaks directly to Peter, restoring him into the fellowship and recommissioning Peter to feed his sheep. The model Jesus gives here is that of grace, acceptance and love and forgiveness. Another time, my Christian housemate and I took in a 22-year-old girl that I had met in hospital after she tried to take her own life for the 12th time. She came out of a drug rehab. After 7 days, she was coming in with us so that we could rehabilitate or help rehabilitate her life. We were excited to be doing something for God, and we were determined that we were going to make a difference in her life. However, in the 3 months that she lived with us, she lied through her teeth, raked up an enormous phone bill that she couldn't possibly pay, and managed to always have an excuse why she couldn't pay the rent each week. After I challenged her about being truthful and that I could take whatever she said if she would only just tell me the truth, she made another attempt on her life. Of course, I blame myself. Maybe I pushed too hard. When I arrived at the hospital after my housemate found her, she was screaming at nurses, refusing treatment. She knew how this worked. With the things she was doing and saying, I realized she had learned a coping strategy for dealing with life. We chose to step into her boat and get personal in her life, and we got burned. You may not get praise or acknowledgement for what you do in this life. However, I encourage you to keep your heart soft, even with the knocks. As God promises an inheritance in heaven as he rewards those who tended to his flock. In Matthew 25, starting from verse 34, it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. When I needed clothes, you clothed me. When I was sick, you looked after me. And when I was in prison, you came to visit me." Ending in verse 40, the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Let us love as God loves. And in 1 Corinthians, we see what that looks like. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Love never fails. Which brings me to my final point. Love unconditionally. Loving unconditionally is not a natural ability, but a supernatural ability that we have from God living in us. It is easy to get caught up in the doing and forget about the being. We must remember that it is crucial for us to continually come to God in prayer. God is our life source. As we draw near to him, he also draws near to us. We need to continually be replenished and directed by God so that we continue to go out in God's strength and not our own. Otherwise, it's impossible for us to consistently shine Jesus to the hurting world around us. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I could never have dealt with this young girl in my life without God. I was so completely out of my depth. When she returned from the hospital, I had to take tough love stands with her, setting firm boundaries, which challenged me to the core. All of the while, she had the choice that she could leave if she didn't want to abide by them. I kept her safe until I got her into a long-term rehabilitation facility. Then I went into therapy. Only joking. After she had been in an 8-month rehab program, she got a job. She got a unit, and she invited my friend and I over to her house for dinner. She looked like a different person. Those eyes were alive, and there was a soul in her eyes that I hadn't seen before. And she looked at us over as we were eating, and she said, "Thank you." It was honest and it was sincere. What a gift to see. In conclusion, when we look to recognize the needs around us and meet them in a practical sense, and remember to be personal but not take it personally, and also to love unconditionally, we shine Jesus to the hurting world around us. It is not our job to be their savior. It's our job to minister to people where they're at and lead them to Jesus by the love we display. Thank you.
Thank you, Leanne. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Pastor Darren, for the first service. He said we got three young preachers and he went and corrected himself on the second service. I was getting all excited. See, we had a practice. And the first service he was saying, "What are those things on the Christmas tree?" Somebody said, "Tags." He got it the second service. See what happens with practice? Practice makes perfect. So, shining Jesus to a hurting world. I was going to try this without my glasses, but my optometrist is sitting in the front row, so I better put my glasses on. Shining Jesus to a hurting world, shining Jesus to our hurting communities, shining Jesus into our world wherever we live. Well, those first couple of sermons, I think there might be love, 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 love. Jesus love, unconditional love, dealing with people, be personal but don't take it personally. I like that, Leanne. It's very good, very good. And Jesus's love is within you. That's coming out in those first. Listen, because a lot of people today don't listen. It's called active listening, I think. Is that right, Fiona? Active listening, where you actually really listen and not look around and have things going on. And people go, "Well, they're not really listening." So the Bible, whoops, I got the wrong page here. The Bible in John 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And for every Christian, that's you. And Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." And our topic was shining Jesus to a hurting world. And in Matthew 5, as Paul said, "Let your light shine before others." This is what Jesus said, "so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And interestingly, Jesus ties together shining your light and good works. Ephesians 2:8-10, every Christian knows this back to front probably. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." People can get confused with, it's not of works, we're not saved of works, we're saved to do good works. The NIV, the ESV says, "Good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So we have been saved by grace, created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for each and every one of us to walk in. James says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Christians prove their faith by their good works. That's what James was saying. But I believe we need to add one more thing. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And Leanne said when she had that difficult situation, she said, Lord, what do I do? What does she need? And God said, listen. The ESV says that we may discern what the will of God is. So we need to discern what the will of God is for our lives. So the Bible's given us this beautiful recipes. There's lots of recipes in the Bible and lots of ingredients. If you do this, you get that. The Old Testament is full of a lot of, if you do this, you get blessings, and if you do these other things, you get cursings. And in some chapters in the Old Testament, and we got to thank Jesus we don't live in the Old Testament, a lot of times there's a couple of chapters of blessings and a heap of chapters of cursings for disobedience. But anyway, this is a little recipe we got because God's grace, our faith, our salvation, creation in Christ. This is some of the scriptures we just read. Children of light, God's will, godly good works, Jesus, love, 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 love. Blend together and serve as shining Jesus into a hurting world. It seems that God is depending on us to invade the confusion, complexities, and spiritual darkness of a hurting world. And Leigh and I just looked at a scripture last week where I was reading something and I said, wow, you read the Bible and you read the Bible and you read the Bible, and said, Jesus said, the days are evil. That was 2,000 years ago. So God's depending on us to shine Jesus into a hurting world with the love of Jesus that's within you, the light that Christ brings into our lives to shine into spiritual darkness, and by our godly good works. Many people have said before me, you may be the only Bible some people ever read. And with that little boy that Paul talked about, you may be the only Jesus that some people ever see. Emerson said, what you are shouts so loudly in my ears, I cannot hear what you say. William George Jordan said, into the hands of every individual is given a marvelous power for good or evil, the silent, unconscious, unseen influence of your life. This is simply the constant radiation of what man really is, not what he pretends to be. To shine Jesus to a hurting world, well, we need love. We've heard that in the first two. And we have God's grace, our faith, our salvation, creations in Christ, children of light, God's will, godly good works, which God has prepared in advance for you, each and every one to do. Could we have the musos up, please? Jesus is the light and the life of everyone who chooses to follow him. We read that in the first scripture. His way lights our path through spiritual darkness and leads us into eternal life. Every one of us desperately needs saving. Every one of us desperately needs Jesus Christ. Just ask you to bow your heads. And with every head bowed and every eye closed,